before we even had a business, we talked a couple people into letting us do some catering for them over the summer, just on our good word and being friends. And we ended up buying a 40-foot hay trailer, and we turned it into a legal kitchen. And we sold out for about 100 days straight. I think relationships is what life is about. And if you let money and power and business get in the way of the relationships, then I think that causes trouble. Barbecue with the blues and all this, the thought, the aura behind it brings all walks of life together.
This is the ProCo 360 podcast for people who love Colorado and love hearing from Colorado's most inventive and successful entrepreneurs. I'm Dave Tabor, and this episode is with Jeff Kennedy, one of the team of three co-founders of Moe's Original Barbecue, a company I've seen all over the place. I didn't even realize it was based here in Colorado. I didn't know it was based in Colorado.
Well, we're all from Alabama, but we've all transplanted to Colorado.
Yes, and you sound like maybe you're not from Colorado. Hey, I do love great barbecue, especially a great brisket. I'm fascinated by the business of barbecue, which seems hard to do well, even harder to scale, and then really almost impossible to franchise well, which is what Moe's Original Barbecue seems to be doing. So Jeff's here in the studio with me, and I look forward to smoking him with all my barbecue questions. Jeff, glad you're with me.
Hey, thank you so much. I feel honored to be here with that intro.
Oh, man, it's going to be fun. I do love a great barbecue, and I am astounded at the variation of quality that we find. We're going to talk about that in a minute, but first, describe Moe's Original Barbecue to someone who hasn't been in one.
So I think Moe's Original Barbecue is, we're really in it for the community and for the experience. We certainly rest our hats on the quality food, but we really try to bring a whole the barbecue experience to you. So when you walk in, you have all the scenes going. You've got the smells, the flavors, the sounds, all coming at you, and it's all kind of stuff that we grew up with down in Alabama, and so we just try to replicate kind of that scene as we grow.
Well, before we get into some of the business parts of barbecue, which is what we're really going to be talking about, it seems like barbecue is such, like, it seems so difficult to get it right. Is that true?
It certainly is an art. And we talk about this all the time, actually, especially in the kitchen. Doing barbecue right is definitely an art. And it's not difficult to replicate. It's difficult to replicate perfection, I would say, because we're really taking our parents, grandparents' recipes handed down to us, and then the idea of smoking meats for generations, you know, and so taking a product that we really feel close to and putting some love into it, putting the right amount of smoke, heat, sauces, whatnot, is all really important. So while it's not necessarily a difficult process, it is difficult to get it exactly right every time. Just like your mom's mac and cheese, sometimes it's too salty. Sometimes it might be too salty at Moe's, but we're cooking everything from scratch. And that's what we really pride ourselves on, the idea of getting fresh food, fresh whole foods, and then bringing them to the table prepared in a great way.
One thing that strikes me, and I'm interrupting you here, because one of the things that strikes me is that no matter how well you do what you do, when it comes to focusing on meat, you're so dependent on the product you start with, aren't you?
You absolutely are. Absolutely. And we primarily use the Boston butt, which is kind of the prime cut of the shoulder of the pig. And so what we've kind of done is, while we take a nice cut, it's really kind of, barbecue was built on the understanding of taking kind of a lesser cut of meat and cooking it properly, right?
Is that how it got started back in the South?
Exactly. It was really cooking for the peasants, right? It's cooking comfort food food that nourishes the neighborhood.
Yeah, but doing it with an inexpensive cut
of meat.
That's
right. That's right. So taking a more inexpensive piece of meat and just putting your love into it, you know, using the right heating method. We use apple wood. Using the right spices, we make our own rub, using a really creative, cool sauce that goes with the meat well. All those are really important,
yeah.
I believe.
All right, so let's back up. I mean, what's the startup story? Because you and your two buddies from Alabama, got into this. So how did that all happen?
So we all went to school together. I worked for my partner, Mike Fernandez, in college, and got to be really good friends with him, and really loved his way of cooking. He's very, very creative, but really just taking the idea behind the barbecue, taking simplicity and making it unbelievably well. And so, you know, worked for him in college, and then he came out to culinary school in Vail, Colorado at Johnson & Wales. And I quickly followed when I had an opportunity to come to Colorado. And basically, I told him that anything that he could cook, I could sell. And then a really good friend of ours, Ben Gilbert, moved out a couple years later, and we talked him into coming to Vail as well. And just kind of one thing fell into place and another. And next thing you know, we were cooking barbecue for friends and parties and whatnot. We're like, we need to do this for a living, maybe bring this out to Colorado.
Because people always say that. Oh, we can, you know, I make a great pie.
That's right.
I make a great cornbread. I make it. And we should start a business. And most of them suck and they fail.
That you're absolutely right. I feel like in the restaurant industry in general, everyone has the best burger in the neighborhood,
or they can
cook spaghetti with the best of them. But putting it into a retail commercial establishment is a whole different game for sure. So,
well, back up a little bit. I'm always intrigued when people work for somebody and they become such good friends that they, you know, carry on beyond the employer-employee relationship. How did that happen?
So it's been, you know, the three of us have remained great friends throughout. It certainly poses its challenges when you start to introduce money and business into a friendship. You know, ours kind of came on the front end. We were friends then going into business. And so it's been really difficult. I think we just have to, you know, we've had to keep our values straight as we move forward and keep things on the table and try to keep friends and family outside of business. And it's not always easy, but, you know, we keep plugging away.
Well, that, you know, you raise an interesting point, though. So I'm going to go down that question. How do three guys that have just been friends making barbecue for friends, for parties and all? I mean, when you go into business, you know, all these things you didn't know about each other, attitudes that didn't matter before, issues that never mattered, they all come up then, right?
They do.
And so how have you managed to stay together all this time?
You know, I think it's just kind of being able to navigate those waters really very openly and being transparent and keeping our individual objectives in life kind of on the table. Like, this is what we believe in. This is what we believe our restaurant is about. And this is the direction we're going. And just being able to have healthy confrontations back and forth. And to be honest, I think that's one of the big reasons that we've had success with it, is that we've all been able to bring our individual skills and passions into it. But leave each other room to have their own lane, right?
Do you operate, the three of you, in different lanes, or do you collaborate on most decisions?
This is a difficult part. We certainly have our areas of expertise and areas that we like to individually spend within the business, but we also try to bring the ideas to the team, and maybe almost, you know, almost to a liability, like, I think we care so much about what each other thinks and wants to do with the business that sometimes our close friendship probably gets in the way of the actual business side of it.
Sometimes your close friendship get in the way of making the right decision.
And relationships are more important than the bottom line for me and for us. We've always believed that. And if you can keep that idea straight in your head, I think that's just important. It's, you know, I think it gets to be a gray area a lot of times. And I think you just can't let it be. I think relationships is what life is about. And if you let money and power and business get in the way of the relationships, then I think that causes trouble. And we certainly, like everyone, you know, we've gone through our trials and tribulations with it and fought over quite a few hurdles. But what's cool is that we've really remained really good friends and family. And that's what
cool.
We love about it.
Yeah. So I got you down that rabbit hole. But you don't barbecue any rabbit, do you?
We don't, but we do Brunswick stew, which originally started out as rabbit stew.
Oh, okay. All right. So, but getting back, like, okay, so you guys were friends, you were making barbecue for, you know, friends and parties. And so how did this turn into a business?
You know, we actually, the first year, we ended up, before we even had a business, we talked a couple people into letting us do some catering for them over the summer, just on our good word and being friends. And, so one thing turned into another, and we ended up buying a 40-foot hay trailer, and we turned it into a legal kitchen, and we put that on the side of the road in Edwards, Colorado.
Wow.
And then my landlord had a junkyard out there in Minturn, and we built the pit out of a single-wide mobile home trailer, 500-gallon diesel barrel, welded it on, cut it in half, and we still use that to this day.
Really?
Yeah, we use it for parties and whatnot, so it's like our favorite cooking rig.
After time, after all these years, does it taste better? You know, after, I mean, does it matter? Like, do you season that cooking rig? Does it, you know, get better over time?
That cooking rig definitely cooks better than any other pit on the face of the earth. There's no doubt about it.
Wow. And is it the nostalgia or just actually the flavor?
I mean, it's maybe a little bit of both.
Yeah.
For sure. But it's a power horse in the cooking world, and it's super fun. We still take it out and use it all the time.
That's cool. And when, you know, when you think about, I mean, you've gone into now the franchising business. So, yeah, and you were telling me earlier, they're about roughly 50 Mo's, and you own two.
Yes, sir.
The rest are franchises.
Right.
Right. So, how did you guys decide to, how many did you have before you decided to start franchising?
I think we had six literally kind of bar napkin deals written out with our first five partners. And, we just got to, after a few years of it, we get to the end of the year and nobody knew if anybody made money or if we did make money, who got the money. And so, you know, we kind of went down several roads trying to understand how to grow. And so we decided to go with the franchise, and we've actually for years have, ever since we started, we've kind of called it the franchise, which again, this has got us probably in some trouble along the way because you gotta keep, to an extent, you got to keep friends and business on a separate page. So the franchise is something that we love, but maybe not the smartest idea.
Well, you know, it's so easy for money and for sort of the business rules to manage relationships where I think, you know, you kind of lose the love. And it sounds like you're trying hard not to.
Yeah, we're absolutely trying hard not to. And, you know, The brand is really special. Obviously, to us, it is. We've put our life's work into it, but our brand is really about family and community. And when you break it down to that, again, coming down to the relationships, you know, we create authentic experiences around exceptional food and valued relationships. And the food and the relationships cannot go single-handedly. It's the two of them come together to create the experience.
So what do you do? When, and by the way, if you've got 48 franchises, some of them are cooking better barbecue than the others. It's just the way life is. Even if you're helping them, some are doing better, some are doing worse. What happens when you got a good friend who's not meeting the standard?
You know, this has certainly been a challenge for us, 100%. I think that, again, just being able to be very transparent and keep friendship aside from business the best that we can. Another thing that we've done is we've been able to bring on a couple employees that are awesome kind of road warriors, and they're out on the road. And what we've tried to do is maybe put a little barrier between the three of us and our friends. So those difficult decisions can be discussed on a very professional basis as opposed to a friendly basis.
That makes a lot of sense. I'm guessing, though, there's been a time when one of your road warriors finished doing what they're doing and you get a phone call, Jeff, this guy's telling me what to do, blah, blah, blah. That must happen.
Yes. Absolutely. And it's I guess it's just all part of navigating the business, you know, it's just business.
Yeah.
It's business and friends and how do you bring it all together? And
business and friends, you know, that's always been a tough topic because it's easy to make business decisions based on business, but they're not as fulfilling. They're not as fun and they're not as gratifying. And so, yeah, making that blend, that's a tough deal. Hey, I want to ask you a couple of other tough questions in a second. I want to remind listeners, this is the ProCo 360 podcast, named Colorado's best podcast the last 4 years. I'm your host, Dave Tabor. This is the podcast for people who love Colorado and the stories of Colorado businesses and entrepreneurs, like my guest today, Jeff Kennedy of Moe's Original Barbecue. He thanks to sponsors Kinsley Meetings. And by the way, Kinsley Meetings is ProCo 360's longest running sponsor. They're growing based on a great reputation for planning and conducting meetings with lots of moving parts. Also via technologies, they host ProCo 360. Their team is so good to me. It's so good to ProCo 360. They keep the website running. Colorado Biz Magazine is, and our partnership with them is one of building our audiences together. Finally, Denver Angels, and we've been partnering with them most recently to feature great Colorado companies. Go to ProCo360.com and check out my partners. Okay, I got to go back to my love of barbecue, and generally my favorite barbecue joints have been the ones that are roadside barbecue, little joint. They run out of food by 1 o'clock. People are lining up at 9. You can smell it miles away. And basically when it's gone, it's gone. You know, don't bitch. This is all we got left. You want it or not. Right?
That's right.
That's how you started, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We actually sold out that little trailer on the corner in Edwards. We were in a gravel lot. And we sold out for about 100 days straight. And that was when we started the business. After the 100 days, we ran out every day at 2 or 3 o'clock. And we're like, okay, maybe we have a legitimate business. Let's try some Mustang behind this.
So that was a hobby for you guys for 100 days till you sold enough to make it
to prove
your concept?
Yeah. So we had Mike had kept his job through the summer just in case this didn't work. We were kind of going out on a limb. We each had about $500 to our name and got a little loan for this trailer. And so we kept some little side jobs just in case the barbecue didn't work. But it ended up working great. And we were super fortunate and started. We ended up running the roadside trailer for about 3 summers in a row, but immediately that first winter, we moved into another brick and mortar, a little small place up at Vail Mountain.
Yeah, which was a restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when you were, your margins must have been awesome on the side of the road.
It was. It's just the three of us.
Yes, and you can't scale those margins, right. Though. Can't, no. What did you buy at the grocery store or buy, you know, and then you just smoked it, sold it, and drank beer that night.
Basically. That's basically what we did. We had we had the pit out there, and so we were cooking fresh every morning. And with barbecue, though it's hard to scale if you sell out, I think the premise for us anyway is that some things will continue to sell out. Because barbecue needs to be fresh. It's so much better when it's fresh and hot off the pit. And so sometimes I misguess how busy we're going to be on a Monday afternoon. And so at any given point now, you know, maybe we'll run out of ribs for a little while, certainly run out of mac and cheese every day at every store at some point. But I think that as long as it's not, overtaking the experience.
Yeah.
I think that's part of barbecue. Like you said, it's kind of cool. I was just dying to get some ribs today, but I guess I could come back tomorrow.
Yeah. You know, there is this mystique about it or something romantic about going to a place and getting there before they sell out. But you can't do that anymore, really, because you got franchises and they don't have lines out the door. So, don't you miss some of that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, we talk about it all the time, how great that first 100 days was, because You go in carefree, you're out in the sunshine smoking meats and cooking soul food, and you get to sell to your community, and then at 2 o'clock go for a bike ride and do your thing for the afternoon in Colorado, which is hard to beat.
Yeah. What time do you have to start cooking so that you can start selling at 10 or whatever?
We start at 7:30.
So you're smoking for how long?
So if I get there at 7:30 and I have food on the pit pretty quick there, then I have it ready at 11 o'clock.
All right. So what's the story with people who are bragging about smoking things for 8 hours, 10 hours? Is that unnecessary?
Well, we cook a little bit higher temperature than a lot, but our, the pork and brisket, those products take overnight. So they're about an 18 hour process. Yeah. But our ribs, chicken, turkey, all those we cook twice a day. So we cook them fresh in the morning, then fresh in the afternoon.
Wow.
And they're about a 3 hour process.
So. Got it. Now, it sounds like if they needed to cook overnight, that's what you do. But some cuts want it, some cuts don't, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We kind of like a little, we like a little bit of a higher temperature than what your traditional. You know, Mike, my partner, really learned on fire roasted meats. So we're cooking that temperature up a little bit, and we want to get the flavor of the smoke and the aura of the fire, but we don't want it to become overly smoky. We're really trying to appeal to the masses.
Mm-hmm.
And some of my favorite barbecue joints down in Alabama, you know, they're pretty hardcore barbecue, and we're trying to make maybe a little easier to swallow.
Okay.
idea of
but
the barbecue.
But I didn't realize that there's different tastes around that. So,
yeah, for sure.
So now you've got 48 out of 50 of your locations roughly are franchises. And one of the things that impressed me is I read that a lot of them are owned by former employees. Is that talk about how that works?
Yeah, you know, most of our stores have grown really organically. So we'll bring, you know, to Vail, for instance, someone comes out to Vail to work with us for a couple of years after school, and then they fall in love with the concept, and they're like, I'm going to take this back to my college town or my favorite beach town or wherever it may be. And so we've really tried to kind of take that organic path of growth just to keep really passionate people in it and to give people opportunity within the business.
Yeah, so but if somebody's just coming out of college, they worked for you a couple of years, how can they ever pay? Because it's got to cost $1 million to start one up.
Well, you know, a couple things on that is that one, you know, we were cheap asses, so we're masters of being cheap, and so back in the day as we were getting going, you know, we really mastered the idea of getting a restaurant open on the cheap. And while we don't brag about that anymore, that's not really what we're after anymore. But we still are very frugal with that, because it is important. Not everybody has the money to open a restaurant. And a lot of these kids are going to their grandparents or someone, you know, someone special to them and borrowing money. So it means a lot to us to make sure that that works for them.
Would you let someone open a franchise on a homemade truck
probably
that wants to sell it on the side of the road? You would?
Probably.
If they were like you and like, I just want to sell it on the side of the road and have a line out the door.
So our original trailer now that we started out on that corner is now up in Leadville. Our good friend Harvey took our old trailer, renovated it, made it super cool, and put it on the main block right in downtown Leadville.
Perfect.
Yeah, so we're kind of reusing it.
So he's probably got a few picnic tables
out
front.
Yeah, exactly.
And no interior seating, nothing.
Nothing.
So it's really mostly takeout.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's a really cool scene he's got up there. It kind of goes good with Leadville.
Yeah, but it probably didn't cost him much to open it. He just had to rent the space.
That's right.
Oh, that's brilliant. So he gets that same traditional, you know, sort of nostalgia thing of just cook it, people come, and that's it.
For sure.
Wow.
And we really try to keep... You know, I think one thing that's cool about Moe's, it might also be a bit of a hurdle in some instances, but we really like to keep each store individual. We like to, from the way I kind of say it sometimes, is from A to Z, it's Moe's Original Barbecue, but from Z to eternity, it's the local owner, the local market, the community. Mm. It's the music they like, the college sports that they're into, the local high school team. And so we want all 50 stores when you walk in. We want you to know that it's Moe's, but we also want it to be very unique and very authentic.
Yeah, you talk a lot about on your website about community, about connection and such. Talk about, and even as a marketing mechanism for the stores, right? Talk about that.
Yeah, you know, the community has just always been, to me, it's absolutely the coolest part of what the brand has come to mean to a lot of people. And that is just community, and it brings barbecue with the blues and all this, the thought, the aura behind it brings all walks of life together. And it's really cool to see that in every market that we're in, that it really just brings everyone together. And barbecue, I think, since its origins, has always done that, because again, it was made on a cheap budget. It's just meant to feed the masses and to bring people together.
Yeah. And I noticed though, this has to be a challenge for you too, because I noticed in playing around on the website and going and looking at different locations, like they all have their own social media. Like, how do you leverage and build a brand when everybody's doing their own thing? That's got to be tough.
Yeah, if you could help us out, that'd be cool. You know, those are the challenges that we're facing. It's good challenges, though, I think. And, you know, we've really, in the beginning, we really just thought this was about kind of almost a group of mom and pop restaurants, mm-hmm. and let us help to teach our partners how to run their own business without mandating a whole lot of things. But I think that's, you know, like everything, that, you know, those times are kind of evolving for us as well, and we're having to put more structure behind it. But stuff like the social media and, yeah. you know, 50 individual pages is like a marketer's nightmare.
Yeah, yeah. Are you able to mandate food quality? I mean, that's a tough thing. I mean, it's even like I've been to a barbecue place. This one just bugged the crap out of me. Like if you get a bad cut of meat, a brisket, for say, and you cut it open and it's just lousy. It's just lousy. And I've been places like, well, they serve it anyway. You know, shouldn't you just sometimes throw it out?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's, you know, mandating exceptional food is difficult. It's since you can't be there to see everything that's going on, you just have to rest assured that you've given them the best tools for success, and that you hope that we've created a comfortable environment where they know that if it's not good, let's get rid of it. Let's move on to the next piece of meat that's good, slice it, and give them nothing but top notch.
Yeah. Hey, reminding listeners, this is ProCo 360, named Best Colorado Business Podcast of the last 4 years. I'm Dave Tabor. This is the podcast for people who love Colorado and the stories of Colorado businesses and entrepreneurs. My guest today is Jeff Kennedy of Moe's Original Barbecue. Go to ProCo360.com to subscribe to the newsletter, read my blog, link to sponsors, and catch the books I'm listening to on Audible. I want to ask you before we wrap up, I want to ask you about culture, because you talk a lot about culture. You talk about keeping the culture and expanding the brand. That's impossible.
It is tough. I think the culture has certainly become kind of a buzzword, and I don't necessarily dive into the buzzwords a lot, but I think we all know how important culture is, and you know, it's really just where you set your expectations, where you set your riverbanks. You know, you gotta keep it inside the banks.
Yeah, but what does that mean? Like, when you describe culture at Moe's, I mean, you can only describe it really. Can you mandate, or because you even mandate, you have something called a team mandated environment. So what's that mean? And to what extent can that go across from franchise to franchise?
Well, you know, I think one thing that is really cool about the Moe's brand is that from the very beginning, we created this little family. And so now that family exists in 50 different locations. But in most of those 50, it really holds and creates its own little family environment. Hmm. And then within those 50 families, it's one big family. And it's just extraordinary to me. I mean, we'll have, you know, some of our employees will go on spring break from school and they'll go down to one of our Gulf Coast locations and work for the week because their friends are down there.
Oh,
they've worked with
cool
them
and
so, you know, we just really believe in it takes everyone's work, everyone's skills, everyone's passions to really pull together an exceptional restaurant and an exceptional experience of hospitality. And so it is a team mandated experience. You know, it's really important that everybody's involved and so we've always just put so much importance on the idea of we are friends, we are family. Mm-hmm. I'm here for you. It's really important to us.
That's cool. And I saw a quote on your website too. Said, "This is from you. I'm a worker. I found that pointing and hollering doesn't get you far." Where did that come from?
I don't know. It just never did me much. It never did me much good. I'm more of just getting down, and I think we all are. We just get down in the trenches with them and lead by example. And we're so passionate about what we do and the food we create and the relationships that we get to hold because of the food that we're creating, the communities that we get to be engaged with, and it all comes from the top. And so if you're pointing and hollering, I think that's the antithesis of culture, right?
Yeah,
nobody wants to be Nobody wants to be talked to that way. Nobody deserves to be talked to that way. So it's just, let's get in this and do it together.
Yeah. Are you still cooking?
Oh, yeah.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Where, at the Broadway location?
Nothing Eagle.
Oh, an Eagle. Yeah. Ah, I need to come see you cook.
For sure. All right. Come on.
Hey, I'm curious, too, about the competition that's now existing because of retail. I mean, the Green Egg, Traeger. You know, are people buying less barbecue because they can make it themselves?
That's a really good question. I don't think so. I think the going out, I think there's always going to be, you know, it is an art. And so it gets people's attention and for them to practice their art at home, but then be able to go down the street and purchase an awesome meal to feed the family. It's kind of a whole different experience.
Yeah.
So I don't think it necessarily takes away. I think maybe if anything, it gives it more of this aura of suspense and creation, you know?
Yeah. Now I'm wondering why three good old boys moved up to Vail.
Well, I went skiing for my first time when I was a high school senior.
Were you wearing jeans?
I basically was wearing jeans. I was basically wearing jeans, but I fell in love with it from the first run. And so I had my eyes set on somewhere in the Rocky Mountains. Mm. And when Mike came out here to culinary school in Vail, it was kind of an easy decision because I was already working for him and had a good friendship going with him. So I think we all, growing up, loved the outdoors and we continue to love what Colorado is all about, the reason that we're all here, right?
That's cool.
People are like, why did you move here? Well,
look out the window. Yeah, of course. Yeah. But I mean, you don't think of Colorado as a barbecue capital of the world, right?
Right. And I think that was kind of fun too, because like the first case of collard greens that we bought out here, we couldn't give them away. And now we sell a case of collard greens at every restaurant that we have. So just kind of spreading our roots and spreading what we love and our heritage around the best that we can is what we're all about.
Cool. So when you look forward, I mean, you got 50 locations now. What's the plan?
The plan is to keep enjoying life and in the hospitality world. And it's changed drastically over the past 4 or 5 years, like a lot of industries have and like the world has. And so it's posed a lot of challenges for us, and we certainly went through some difficult times the last few years with kind of trajectory and understanding what are we doing and how are we getting there, but I think that you know, now as we look back, I think that it's been great for us. It really strengthened our fundamentals and what we were about. It made us better as a team. We closed some restaurants after COVID.
Yeah.
But in hindsight, it's really been a positive thing for us. And I think we've been able to put some structure into our team and into our systems. And I think we're in a much better place than we were 5 years ago. And I think we're ready for that upward trajectory.
Yeah, again. That makes sense. I mean, at some point, leadership through friendship has scaling limits, right?
That's right.
I mean, you got to have some systems. So quick question. I wasn't even going to ask it, but I want to before we wrap up. Like, what percentage of your sales are takeout versus in-restaurant? And I'm curious about that because of the margins.
Yeah, so I do at the Eagle store, we do about 15% catering. And then so about 85% in-house. And in-house is a combination of the carry-out and dine-in. And within that, it's about 40% carry out.
That's
And that varies between restaurants. Some of them are a little bit different, but you know, I think barbecue needs to be kind of easy in, easy out. We call it the double wide family pack. And so grab your double wide and head home. But we also, again, go back to that experience, right? Inside the restaurant, and you've got some cool stuff on TV. You've got a bar.
Yeah.
You've got kind of a cool scene to be a part of. So we try to keep them in the restaurant when we can.
Cool. All right. Anything else we should talk about that I didn't ask you?
I don't know. It's been pretty good. I enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. Let's wrap up. I'm your host, Dave Tabor, and today on ProCo 360, you've been listening to my conversation with Jeff Kennedy, one of the founding team of Moe's Original Barbecue, and it has been fun to have you on.
Yeah, thank you so much. I love it. I love the invite and gave me a reason to get up to the big city for a day.
Oh, down to the big city.
Down
right?
to the big
yeah,
city.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
See some of my friends at the Mo's down here.
For sure. Listeners, glad you're here in Proco 360, where we say live, work, love Colorado, because you and I and my guests can be successful anywhere and choose Colorado. Hey, you make the show successful by subscribing to the Proco 360 podcast. If you haven't yet, follow us, and it's a huge help if you submit a review in your app. Thanks again to show sponsors Via Technologies, Kinsley Meetings, Denver Angels, and Colorado Biz Magazine. That's the show. Live, work, love Colorado.